How would you like a 15% discount to my daily email, the stack of stuff, the show notes, discounts to the conference, all of that? All you need to do is text the word show to 33777. You'll get the annual subscription with a 15% discount to my daily email. You'll get the stack of stuff, the links to the show notes, discounts to the conference, and so much more. All you have to do is text the word show, S-H-O-W, to 33777. Text show to 33777.
Welcome to the Eric Erickson Show podcast, hour two.
Hello and welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Should you wish to be on the program, as always, text Eric, E-R-I-C-K, to 33777, should you wish to be on the program. I am very happy to have you with me. I do have a programming note. I'm on spring break next week. One of you listening by podcast is going to send me a note next week and say, what's wrong? What are you alive? Why don't you have a podcast? I can't get the podcast because I'm on vacation. The last one with my kids before my oldest goes to college. It's kind of a big deal. So next week, when there's no podcast, you are not to email and ask where the podcast is, because I'm telling you now, there's not going to be one, but there will be one tomorrow for the Good Friday show, and I hope you'll stick around with me there. Before I change topics, we got some folks who call in about the FAFSA situation. I actually want to take their phone calls. 877-973-7425. Ben, you're going to be up next. Welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon.
Hi there.
Good to hear you today. Just a quick comment on the Department of Education. I'm sure they really have high DEI scores. That compensates for all this other stuff.
Undoubtedly so. I bet the bureaucrats who couldn't figure out how to program the computers are experts in diversity, equity, and inclusion. I bet they're the wokest people ever. Ben, have to tell you, I am very disappointed in myself for not thinking of that.
Obvious.
It really is. Yeah, listen, I appreciate it. Wow. Yeah. It's not a good setup. It's really not. Chris, you're going to be up next. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Eric. Thanks for having me.
First sure.
Time caller. Appreciate it.
What's going on?
So anyway, just listen to your story about FAFSA. It's just kind of another example of how the federal government has really messed up higher education. So I put four kids through college from about 2006 through 2014, filled out the FAFSA many times, and it's great they're shortening it. But, you know, it really kind of gets my goat a little bit is that, you know, with the student loan paybacks, everybody fails to realize that, I don't know, 2008, when they federalized the student loan program, caused massive inflation, and I lived it. I, you know, had to manage through that for, you know, 7-8 years. And then at the end of the day, after I paid my kids' school off and, you know, worked my tail off to do that, you know, now they're forgiving loans, you know. So just another example of the government just completely screwing up higher education. So that's my point.
Yeah, look, it is such a great point because, yeah, they're bailing out people who are actually statistically least likely to need to be bailed out in this country. On their student loans. Now they're making it more difficult for kids to get scholarships and funding, and those kids may have to rely on their parents more. It really is a remarkable screw-up by the Department of Education. And I got to say, I've tried real hard to not make this a partisan attack on the Biden administration because at the end of the day, it is deeply rooted within the bureaucracy. But Miguel Cardona is the Secretary of Education. He did come in to preside over this, and it was his administrators who chose to put the site up on December 30th, 2023, so they could technically meet congressional compliance, and then yanked it back down for multiple weeks and reloaded it, and it was still broken. The Biden administration, at the end of the day, the buck does stop with them on this, even if it's the internal bureaucrats. And part of the problem here as well is highlighting just how incompetent the bureaucrats are within government these days. A lot of them are there just for an easy job and nothing else. Now, I got to switch because this is actually really important. I have seen two stories circulated in the last 2 weeks about how what we're going through as a nation economically, what we're going through mentally, what we're going through socially, it all is still fallout from COVID. And I thought that was kind of interesting because a lot of it isn't really. Like, for example, the inflation we're dealing with in the country comes from Biden's COVID policies, but not from COVID itself. It comes from Biden's policies. Well, I realize now what's going on. This is from the Fox News poll that is just out. Are you better off than you were 4 years ago? The question was asked by Ronald Reagan during a decisive 1980 debate with then-President Jimmy Carter. Only about one in five voters today answers yes. Just 22% say they're better off than they were 4 years ago, while more than twice as many, 52%, say they're worse off. One quarter say the situation's the same. Republicans and independents say they're worse off than 4 years ago, while Democrats say they're better off or the same. And this is really, really, really notable. 72% of Republicans say they're worse off. 59% of independents say they're worse off. Democrats say 37% they're better off, but 35% say the same. And I'm willing to bet that 35% of Democrats who say it's the same really think it's worse, but Trump's not there. 73% say they view the economy negatively. That's actually an improvement since May when 83% saw the economy as a bad thing. It's still three times as many as say the economy is excellent or in good shape. This gets me back to the COVID remarks. What happened 4 years ago? COVID hit. COVID. So what the Democratic strategy is going to be over the summer is really taking shape. Over the summer, you're going to hear a lot about abortion. You're going to hear a lot about IVF. In fact, it's notable. Republicans in Congress are working to pass laws prohibiting the banning of IVF. But the Democrats won't pass it unless the Republicans do abortion on demand as well, which they're not going to do. So the Democrats are accusing the Republicans of holding up everything over abortion. They're trying to make a big abortion play. So you're going to hear abortion a lot from the Democrats over the summer. But also what you're going to start hearing the Democrats do is make a very clear case that 4 years ago it was really bad and it was all Donald Trump's fault. 4 years ago, the world sucked, and it's Donald Trump's fault. And you need to know it's Donald Trump's fault. It's not COVID's fault. It's Donald Trump's fault. That's what the Democrats are going to do. That's going to be their play. Because they don't. When you've got that many Americans saying that their lives were better 4 years ago, the Democratic strategy is to gaslight them into thinking, actually, no, it was far worse because we had COVID, and that was Donald Trump's fault. Bottom line problem for the Democrats right now, Republicans have a lot of problems, y'all. Republicans have a lot of problems. In fact, the GOP is not financially competitive against the Democrats right now. Let me dwell on that point for just a moment to make this larger point about the Democrats. The Democrats right now have way more money than the Republicans, and there are warning signs like, for example, the issue of abortion and IVF. A Republican district in Alabama at the state house level flipped to the Democrats, and all the Democrat campaigned on was abortion and IVF. The Republican campaigned on jobs and the economy, the Democrat campaigned on abortion and IVF, and the Democrat won. And then there's the money issue. It's a significant issue that the Republicans do not have the money to compete at the state level with national dollars. This is a big warning sign for Republicans out there. It is a huge sign internally at the RNC. They're trying to revitalize it. They're trying to focus on the grassroots and the ground game, but there's just not a ton of money there. Then the president, the former president, has his legal bills. So Donald Trump, a lot of his money has to go to pay the lawyers. Look what's happening to Mike Lindell. Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy. I'm y'all know my issues here, but he's been booted out of his warehouse because he can't afford the bills. His lawyers have left him. He can't afford the money. He went off to crazy town with the stolen election stuff. He's lost some lawsuits. He doesn't have the money. Donald Trump doesn't have the money right now to compete because he can't lose his lawyers. Lindell lost his lawyers, and he's in a bag of hurt. Trump doesn't want to lose his lawyers. He's got to pay his lawyers. He's got to pay his bills. The lawyers don't have to work for him for free, and they're not going to. He's got very good lawyers at this point. He's got to pay them. That money, a lot of it is coming from the campaign. It's coming from the super PACs. The RNC for a while was footing the bill for him. That's why the RNC doesn't have a lot of money in addition to the fundraising sucked over the last year. You want to know the number one reason Ronald McDaniel is booted from the RNC? It is the fundraising. It sucked in the last year, and she's the fall guy for it. It doesn't matter if she was spending money on flowers or private jets or whatever. It was the fundraising that was the problem. To be chair of the RNC, you got to be able to raise money. And she couldn't raise the money. She couldn't raise the money because the donors are burned out and the big donors were worried about the money going to pay Trump's legal bills. And that has put the GOP at a competitive disadvantage on the ground game in the states, knocking on doors and things like that. But I put that perspective because you need to know that perspective because that is relevant. Money plays a role in politics and getting people out to vote and things like that. But this is the problem fundamentally for the Democrats is you still have more than 2/3 to 3/4 of Americans think the economy sucks. And they're beginning to believe that the glory days of America were in Donald Trump's years, not Biden's years, that better days were there. The number of independent voters in this country who had terrible thoughts on Donald Trump's tenure has gone down. More and more of them think, you know what, it wasn't so bad. And so when you see this polling that so many Americans think that they were better off 4 years ago than today, the only strategy the Biden administration has is to gaslight people and tell them, actually, your life sucked 4 years ago when Donald Trump was president. You may not think so, but remember how bad it was. You were locked down. Your kids were out of school, all of which were policies the Democrats supported. But it's their best play with abortion tied to it is to badmouth the Trump years, badmouth the economy, and try to tie Donald Trump to COVID and hope people are too stupid to realize what's going on. And by the way, there are a lot of stupid people voting. It's all they have. They're at a waiting game. The Democrats are waiting, hoping desperately that people's view of the economy starts to improve. And there's some data there. Consumer sentiment is climbing. The number of people who view the economy favorably is climbing. But will it be enough by November? I don't have a sense of that. I don't know. But it is remarkable to me that the best path forward for Democrats is not to play up the economy. It's not to talk up Joe Biden's agenda. It's not to do any of that. It's to convince Americans that actually you're wrong. 4 years ago, your life was miserable. It sucked, and it's all Donald Trump's fault. That's their best play. Screaming about abortion and that. And I don't know that that gets them the win. Don't look now, Democrats. But in the swing states, Donald Trump's still ahead. You guys have a lot of convincing to do to Americans that actually Biden's better than Trump, particularly when all the polling shows Americans' views of Donald Trump's tenure in office is improving pretty rapidly. That's your warning sign.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here. Glad to be with you. The phone number 877-973-7425. I want to go to the phones. Gordon here. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, Eric. Happy Easter.
Thank you. You too.
This abortion issue is really going to work for these Democrats, because when they roll out all these statistics about these thousands of women that were going to die when the Dobbs decision came down. Oh, wait, that didn't happen, did it?
Right. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Well, you know, I saw I think it was MSNBC this morning, the claiming that all these young rape victims in this country are being forced to have babies. When has this happened?
I've heard of not one single death. I have not heard about anybody being forced to have a baby. Where did all that go?
Lots of nightmare scenarios that aren't panning out, Gordon. You're right. Thanks very much for that. 877-973-7425. Y'all, I got to tell you a funny story. I shouldn't tell this story on air, but I'm going to. It's not bad. I just, some of the people involved may be listening, and that may get me in trouble for sharing. Okay, so at school yesterday, one of the teachers decided, the teacher wanted to do a Passover cedar. Now, Passover's not until the end of next month, but tying it into Good Friday, it's a Christian school, and trying to make the connection of what it would have been like in the upper room and all that. So they're going to do the Passover cedar. So my son comes home, asked him how it went, what the food was like, said we didn't eat. So why didn't you eat? I mean, they had cookies and brisket and had all sorts of stuff. A lot of stuff you would have had He says, we didn't eat. So why not? I mean, he came home and he had like a bucket of cookies left that his mom had said. It's like, why didn't you eat? Said, because the teacher decided to do foot washing first. So what does that have to do? It's like, didn't wash his hands after washing feet before he passed out the food. Forgot to wash his hands. The kid was like, we were all grossed out. Oh, gosh. Wow. My goodness. All right. I got to tell you. I'll move on. Forgot to wash his hands. Gosh, don't forget to wash your hands after you engage in foot washing if you're going to pass out food, people. I got to tell you about Vision Computers. Y'all, listen, I normally talk about businesses, but since we're going through this right now, let me talk to you. If your kids are headed off to college, here's the thing. You want your kid to be focused on school, not focused on their computer, unless they're in computer science. But if you go to visioncomputers.com or call them at 404-COMPUTE, start thinking about your kids going off to college. They're going to need a computer. Vision can build it for them and then be their IT solution. So if your kid's in college and has a computer problem, they can call Vision and Vision will answer their problems. Email, printer, they can remote in, do patches, all that sort of stuff. So you got peace of mind that your kid's in good hands with their technology when they're in college. Now they can do it for you and your business as well. Even if you didn't buy your computers from Vision, if you went to the big box electronics store and you got the one size fits all garbage, Vision can still be your IT solution. Now, they can build you computers as well. For $179 a year, not a month, even if you didn't buy your computers from Vision, they can be your IT solution. Call them at 404-COMPUTE. Tell them I sent you. Get an even better deal. Or go to visioncomputers.com. 404-COMPUTE. Hello there. Welcome. It is Eric Erickson here. The phone number 877-973-7425. Mario's calling from Palm Coast, Florida. Welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm outstanding, sir. Thank you for taking my call. Also, I enjoy very much listening to you. You're a wealth of knowledge and a little bit funny as well.
Well, I appreciate
it. Eric, my question is this. A couple of weeks ago or so, you mentioned that percentage of 0.7% of the Hispanic population could typically or would probably tip the scales in Trump's favor, which I thought was very interesting. However, how would you extrapolate that with the Jewish vote, especially since the current administration has pretty much turned their back on the Jewish people and Netanyahu? And I'm hoping that typically the reverse would happen with the Jewish population typically voting about 76% Democratic. Do you think that with the current events that are going on, that would persuade some to vote for Trump opposed to Biden?
Oh, you know, that is a great question. And I've wondered about this one. And you know, Mario, I've actually talked to some strategists about this particular issue. And here's what they tell me, that we got to stop connecting Jewish voters in this country to our views of Israel, because a significant portion of Jewish voters in this country actually view themselves as an ethnicity, but don't tie it to a religious denomination or to Israel. It's just like a lot of Catholic voters in this country identify themselves as Catholic in terms of not really a religious practice, but as an ethnicity. And same thing with Jewish voters. Now, that being said, it's going to be a very close election. I mean, we look at the 2020 election. See, Biden got over 80 million votes. Donald Trump got 74 million. A lot of people say there's no way Biden actually got that much. It's proof it's stolen, whatever. Ignoring all of that, look at the swing states. It was a 40,000 to 45,000 vote margin in the swing states that gave Joe Biden the win. In Georgia, he won by about 11,000 votes. Every single statewide elected Republican in Georgia got more votes in their district than Donald Trump did in their district, which I didn't know that until a couple weeks ago. It's striking data. So now let's add in the Hispanic vote, the Black vote, the Jewish vote. All you got to do is get in swing states, 50,000 shift. You could do that with the Hispanic vote alone. Now you add in the Jewish voters who do actually view themselves in relation to the Jewish people in Israel. Let's say it's only 20,000, though, who shift. You get 50,000 Hispanic voters to shift. You would get only 10,000 Black voters to shift, and they're all in swing states. That wins the Electoral College for Donald Trump. So it may be a small number, but every one of those numbers matters. Again, I can't emphasize this one enough for you. This legitimately, seriously, this is a big issue. There are six swing states: Arizona, Nevada, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. Some demographers add in North Carolina. Notice Florida is not listed there. Notice Texas is not listed there. Despite media chatter, Texas and Florida are going to be Republican states, and Trump's going to win it. Notice as well Ohio. Ohio had been a swing state. Sherrod Brown is a Republican or a Democratic senator. Bernie Moreno is going to run against him as the Republican nominee. It's actually kind of a big deal. That state could shift. That state has become a Republican state. J.D. Vance may not have done as well as other Republicans statewide in 2022, but he still won. Ohio is not expected to be a swing state in 2024. Trump won it in 2020. Didn't he? Yeah, he won it. So you got six swing states. Maybe you have North Carolina. I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia. I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia. And I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia because Lincoln Riley. And I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia because of the Atlanta Public Training Center. And I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia because of the economy. And I don't think Donald Trump loses Georgia because of where we are in culture right now. Now, for those of you nationally, you're like, what the heck, Atlanta training facility? So in Atlanta, they're building a police training facility. Antifa activists from around the country have come to Atlanta. In fact, yesterday, Antifa activists put police lives in jeopardy. They climbed up the crane and tied themselves inside this construction crane to protest, and the police had to climb into it and pull them out, risking their lives to get these protesters out, who had essentially duct taped themselves inside this thing. Antifa protesters have firebombed a fire department building. They have fired gunshots at police. They have firebombed a youth facility. They have found out where the construction workers for this police facility go to church and have harassed the churches, shown up and disrupted worship events. And it doesn't get national coverage, but it matters in the metro Atlanta area that these are progressive activists, and Joe Biden and the Democrats are humoring them and placating them and waffling on their support of the police training facility. That stuff matters in tight elections. So take Georgia and its 16 electoral college votes off the table. That gives Donald Trump an advantage. On the ground, so let me go to 270. There's a great website if you've never been to it. Yeah, 270 to win is the website. Let me just give you the state of play right now from them. And what they do is they base it on the current polling metrics of the way things work. Some states are automatically going to go Democrat. Some states are automatically going to go Republican. If the election were held today, based on the consensus polling, Donald Trump starts with 235 Electoral College votes. Joe Biden starts with 226 Electoral College votes. So, for example, we know California, which has the most Electoral College votes, 54. That's going to go to Joe Biden. New York has 28 Electoral College votes. That's going to go to Joe Biden. But Texas has 40. That's going to go to Donald Trump. Florida has 30. That's going to go to Donald Trump. The total, and by the way, North Carolina has 16, and that leans towards Trump. It's one of the states some say is a swing state. I don't actually think it is. But Georgia is a swing state. It has 16 electoral college votes. Pennsylvania is a swing state. It has 19. Michigan's a swing state. It has 15. Wisconsin is a swing state. It has 10. Arizona's a swing state with 11. Nevada's a swing state with 6. That's a total of 77 undecided electoral college votes, and that's going to change the dynamic of the state of play. If Donald Trump wins Georgia, which I think he does, that gives him 251 electoral college votes. If Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania, I actually think it's more likely Biden wins Pennsylvania. But if Donald Trump wins Pennsylvania and Georgia, that's 270 electoral college votes, and he becomes president of the United States. Who cares about Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona? But if Joe Biden wins it, he gets to 245. But with Georgia, Trump still has 251. So Trump wins Michigan, he gets 15. And then he's got a wider path in which to win. And that's a problem for the Democrats, and they know it. Their path to win the Electoral College is narrower. So if Biden wins, for example, Pennsylvania and wins Wisconsin, that's 255 Electoral College votes, but that still leaves Nevada, Arizona, and Michigan. If Donald Trump wins those states, he gets 283 votes. There's a broader path, a much broader path for Donald Trump to win in the Electoral College. So the Democrats are hoping for a blue wall, and their blue wall is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Forget Nevada, forget Arizona. If Joe Biden can win Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, he gets 270 votes. It doesn't matter what Nevada, Arizona, and Georgia do. Though that's his blue wall. In Wisconsin, it is likely that Joe Biden can win it. The state has drifted to the Democrats in the last few years. But Michigan, though Michigan moved for the first time in 40 years all down ballot Democrat, Michigan voters seem to be much more open to Donald Trump right now. Not the pro-Hamas anti-Semitic voters, but actually the auto workers in Michigan over electric vehicles have moved pretty decisively to Trump. And then there is Pennsylvania. I think, look, Pennsylvania has a Democrat Secretary of State and a Democrat Senate delegation and a Democrat governor, and that tends to be a recipe for a Democratic win at the presidential level. But blue-collar voters in Pennsylvania are furious, and it's neck and neck there. Now, here again, this gets back to the ground game problem for the Republicans. They don't have the money to put in the time and energy and effort and ground game that the Democrats have. Joe Biden is building a ground game. And that ground game is actually pretty impressive already, and it is March. The Republicans, they got to figure out how to reciprocate on this. The Republicans have got to figure out where they can find the money to build their ground games to get people out. And frankly, Donald Trump's got to stop telling people that the election could be stolen and go vote on Election Day, because Republicans need to bank as many votes as they can. I'm thinking about Glenn Youngkin now in Virginia. Glenn Youngkin got Brian Kemp's ground team to come help him last year in Virginia, and they banked a lot of early votes. They thought they were going to win. They wound up losing the House. They didn't pick up the Senate. It was not what they wanted. It was not what they expected. It looked bad for Glenn Youngkin. But it also was the Republican voters. They didn't turn out in early voting. They did everything they could to turn them out early. They did everything they could to beat the Bushes, to tell them not to go vote on Election Day. But a lot of them decided to go vote on Election Day. In parts of the state, the weather wasn't great. They didn't show up. They didn't stand in line. The lines were too long. They didn't stay. Y'all, I can't tell you enough that if you are a Republican and you're unwilling to vote early in the election because you think it's going to steal the election, you are opening the election to be taken by the Democrats, because Election Day voting in this country, it has problems to begin with lines. You may have to stand in the rain or the snow at that time of year. If you are not voting early, you are potentially handing the election to the Democrats. I cannot implore you enough, when November comes, voter, get your absentee ballot in. Start getting your absentee ballot requests in. Get them in. Vote early. You do not want to wait for Election Day. You do not want to take the chance. It would be bad news if you did. Recently, 10 regional banks have had their credit downgraded, and there's a growing number of regional banks in this country that are probably going to need a federal bailout because they got so into commercial corporate loans and lending, and the corporations aren't doing well, particularly when it comes to real estate issues. And they are probably going to be bailed out, but you're not. That's why Swiss America wants to help you protect your hard-earned assets. They have a report about the secret war on cash. It's actually kind of a very striking report on how the government and businesses are trying to get you to use your credit cards to make purchases as opposed to using cash to make purchases, so that they can better control what you're buying and they can see what you're buying. They can't track it. This secret war on cash is growing. Swiss America has this report. It's completely free to you to read. It's very eye-opening. 800-289-2646. You call that number, 800-289-2646. You tell them I sent you. You get this report, The Secret War on Cash. It is completely free. All you do is mention my name, Eric Erickson. Call or text 800-289-2646. Again, 800-289-2646. Mention my name, Eric Erickson. Get the Secret War on Cash report completely free from Swiss America. 800-289-2646. Message and data rates do apply. Hello, my friends. Welcome. It's Eric Erickson here across the nation. The phone number, 877-973-7425. Well, you know, we are only slightly removed from the one-year anniversary of the tragic shooting at Covenant School in Nashville. What an awful day that was. There was an interesting story in the New York Times. It was the New York Times on how many of those families have gotten dogs since then. Side note from everything I was about to say. I'm not a big pet guy. I grew up with a cat. Had multiple cats growing up. Never had a dog. Wanted a dog when I was a kid. Never had one. And my wife and kids wanted a dog. Sean Hannity convinced me to do a rescue dog, and that dog was insane. Had to send it back, got another rescue dog. That dog was not at first insane, but slowly went insane and hated my wife. That dog had to go back. We finally went to a breeder. We got a golden doodle. Part of the problem as well is, if I'm honest, I am completely allergic to dogs. So we got a golden doodle. That dog has us all wrapped around its finger. By the way, a teachable moment here for you guys. If you ever want a dog, here's what you need to do. And I say this as an expert only because my wife hired a trainer to train us on how to pick out a dog. Do you know the dog that you're never supposed to get? It's the one you always decide on. You go pick out a dog and you get the first dog that runs up to you. You're like, oh, he chose me. And he chose you because you have sucker marked all over you, and that dog is going to run your life. Do not pick the first dog that comes up to you. Sit around, wait, and see who waddles up to you after all the excitement. That's what happened with our dog. My wife wanted a dog. The dog ran up to us. The dog tried to climb her leg. And then the dog she really wanted, which was the one boy in the litter, then trounced on that dog, bit it, and tried to claw up my wife's leg. And she's just, nope, nope, not these dogs. So she sat on the floor. And after all the dogs had climbed all over her, the dog that was in the corner sound asleep, woke up, came over, crawled in her lap, curled back up, went back to sleep. And that is our dog. And there's a story about how a lot of the families who went through that tragic day at Covenant School in Nashville now have dogs. Well, this isn't about the dogs. Just days after the anniversary, a Tennessee music venue has decided to hold what they are calling a Trans Day of Vengeance. A Trans Day of Vengeance. The Daily Wire has the story. Just a few days after the anniversary of the transgender former student trying to murder all the kids at Covenant, a Tennessee venue is going to have a Trans Day of Vengeance concert to raise money for the transgender community. Unbelievable. Unbelievably graceless as well. Good grief. Pray for those families, though, for Covenant. My goodness, they're still going through it.